You're tuned in to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guest today is Captain Jamie Johns of Capital City Fire and Rescue. Hello, Captain Johns.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going pretty good so far, staying warm.
That's good.
So you're here today to talk about ice caves and safety, but before we get into that, tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you do for CCFR?
I'm a fire captain. I've been with the department for 17 years now, and I've been born and raised here, so this is my home, and that would work my way through the ranks, and now I'm a fire captain. I'm also the team lead for our special teams, which is we conduct rescues with water rescue, rope rescue, and ice rescue.
Right. So I guess that means you have been a part of rescues that have involved ice in some way in the past.
Well, I have, yes, several of them.
And what are some of the most common ice-related accidents? Are they kind of what we'd normally think of, like falling through some ice into a lake or pond?
Yeah, it's those are the common ones. We do get called out for pets in the water, and we'll touch on that at the end there. But I've been a part of several rescues throughout the years. We would think that it would be mostly like in the lake or in the middle of the lake, but the worst places and the rescues that we've done is over by Nugget Falls. We've rescued two people at the face of the glacier. Rescued a couple dogs over by the river area, and we had a couple self-rescues from people in the past years in the ponds. You know, the Mendenhall Valley is just full of ponds, and right now there's, you know, hundreds of people out skating on them and playing around on them, and we've had people fall through.
Well, our listeners will well know the Mendenhall Ice Caves are sort of an unofficial wonder of the world. They always draw crowds when the temperature drops. And for the most part, it appears to be a relatively safe adventure for the whole family. You see tons of people out there. And others argue that being out on the ice is never safe. So what's your stance from the perspective of a first responder?
So always my saying is there is really no safe ice. You could just never judge what the depth is. There's so many contributing factors that affect the thickness of the ice. There's multiple groups around town that check the ice. We, as the fire department, do not make it a common standard for us to go check the ice. Because if we deem that, you know, it's thick enough for people to go out, then they'd venture out where we didn't drill and find the depth of it. And then they find a thin piece of ice and they fall through. So that the, you know, concerns with those is the groups are, they do great, go out and they drill the ice and find out, and they're finding, you know, anywhere between 5 to 18, 20 inches of ice. But if you adventure off their path, you just don't know what the depth is until you fall through.
And what would be the chances of survival if you fell through the ice, say, around the terminus of the glacier or Nugget Falls? I mean, what are all the things that would have to happen correctly to avoid a fatality?
There's a lot of things got to line up. A lot of people think that, well, they could just see the face of the glacier from the visitor center. Well, it's over a mile long. It's a mile there and a mile back. So if you were to fall in, there's lots of studies shown that people that have fallen in the frigid waters have lasted a lot longer than what people think. But if you're out there, the first thing what you got to do is be able to self-rescue yourself. And if you're not able to self-rescue, maybe there's going to be people around that can help pull you out of the ice. And we'll talk about being prepared if someone falls through the ice a little bit later. But you only have 10 or 15 minutes at most that you still have functions in your hands and purposeful movements. And if you don't make it out of the ice, then it's a long journey. We, you know, there's people would have to go rescue. If we were deployed, we're 10 minutes from the station, and we're another 20 or 30 minutes before my team could deploy. And sometimes, you know, with that long period of time, it might be a recovery than a rescue.
Do you have the resources to dedicate a portion of your response team to just be at the ready in times like this when there's a lot of people out there on the ice?
No, we don't. We have about 15 full-time active members right now, and we're all trained up on ice rescue and rope rescue and water rescue in case someone falls in. And, you know, there's just so many people out there. I was out there previous years, and there's well over 1,000 people. We actually missed a couple that fell in the water, and they just bolted out of there before we could even go out. And we even asked them, because there's so many people, we didn't know where they were. We just knew that they fell in at the face of the glacier, and they were so cold that they self-rescued and they just ran right to their car. And so we're out there looking for them, and they actually made it to their car. They just passed up my rescuers on the way out.
Like, hi, we're fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's a story with a happy ending. So what can people do? Just knowing that you are kind of on your own out there and go out at your own risk, what can people do to be prepared?
So I usually do a class every year about reading ice for the general public. You know, obviously the COVID thing is kind of put a hamper on a lot of stuff. But if I could take this time to just, you know, educate some of the general public that go out there, is yes, we've had some really cold weather, and it looks like for the next week we're still going to have cold weather. But that, don't let your guard down. Even though there's thick ice and people have traveled out there, I know I've seen social media. The pictures are beautiful. It's a thing that, you know, I wish everybody could go out and experience, because this is our backyard. But everybody has to just take a second and think about them being on the ice. And you know, we don't want to group together. If you have a group of 15 people, don't stand together, because that's, you know, 10-inch ice thick might not support you in that area. When you go out, try to not, you know, mingle around or get off the path that other people have walked on. Obviously, if people are walking on it and they're getting there and back and there's no broken ice or any water showing, we'll say, okay, that path is okay to travel on, you know, because we never say the ice is safe. But once you get to the ice caves, you know, take your pictures, take your selfies, but try not to linger around too much, because we don't know what the plan is. If that glacier caves in on people, it's going to be a while. It's probably not going to be rescues. It's going to be recoveries. Because we're just not, we don't have the skills to deal with a glacier on top of people. So, I mean, I was out there a couple of years ago and witnessed, you know, families having picnics and stuff under the ice. And it's like, you know, let's have it on the outside and just take the pictures and get out and save those for our phones and pass those memories on.
You bring up a good point that once you get across the frozen lake itself, there's the caves as well to think about. Because if you're inside them and you're looking up, you can see good-sized stones that are just sort of suspended in the ice, and it's the ice drips, and you know
it does. The glaciers moving all the time. People think that they could get out and check out the ice and get to the face of the glacier. There's, you know, we've done training evolutions out there, and we've seen open water this time of the year at the face of the glacier. You know, you have a piece that still calves off, breaks open the ice, freezes overnight, and it might only be an inch thick, and people adventure out there going, well, I saw some people out there the day before, so we're going to venture out there and take some pictures at the face of the glacier, but it's open water and they fall through. We've had a couple people that has happened to in the past years, that people have been out there before that they thought they could go out, and the same spot they actually fell through the ice.
Well, another common sight out on the frozen lakes are dogs. You've already mentioned some dog rescues that you've been a part of. I'm a dog owner myself, and, yeah, you know, we all know that some people may not take their own safety seriously, but they do take it very seriously when it comes to their pets. So do you have any advice for protecting your dog from getting in trouble?
I have my dog. I love my dog, too. And you know, you try not to let your dog run off the leash. Or have total control, voice control over your dog, because they could run off, and you know, they're a lot lighter than we are. And if they get into a spot that the open water is, they might be a lot further out than what we could actually get to. And that was the case that the two dog rescues that I was involved in is I swam for almost 75 yards through the ice to get to the dog, because my weight, the ice wasn't holding my weight, but it held the dog, because obviously they're a lot less weight than I was. And, you know, I worked hard to get out to the dog, and we had a successful rescue. We brought the dog back on one of our boards. But it's, you know, people want to go get their dogs, rescue their dogs. And if we get deployed, which we do, our stance is we will get all the owners to safe grounds. And then once my team gets established and I have enough personnel to back up my primary rescuers, we'll go out and attempt to save the dog. We'll do that. If I have my team deployed and we're there and everything's safe and we do our risk analysis there and we deem that, yeah, okay, we'll risk to go get the animal. We'll do it, but everything has to line up. I have to have enough personnel on standby to attempt to rescue. And sometimes, we've heard of many cases where the dogs were, over by the Nugget Falls and they disappeared. Then that's thing I like to touch on is over by the Nugget Falls and to the right of the glacier, the face of the glacier there, and over where the Mendenhall Lake dumps into the river. Those are really the not so good places to be, because there's currents there year round, and if you fall through the ice, you may get pulled under. And that's unfortunately what happened to the two dogs in the past years. They were running around on ice and it was too thin. They fell through and the current got them and they got pulled under the ice.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. But it's so big of you and your department to attempt to rescue a dog when you can.
So. Yes.
Well, Captain Johns, thanks so much for talking with me today. I know that a lot of what we've gone over today, people know already, but still you have to do rescues every year. So I think it definitely bears repeating. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, I'd just like to finish up with, if you guys go out on the ice, enjoy the scenery. It's beautiful scenery out there. The ice caves is an incredible sight to see. But before you go out, make sure you're prepared. Maybe have a piece of rope. Definitely have some sort of communication. If you're going to carry a cell phone, keep it in a bag. So it doesn't get wet if you do fall through. Just be prepared. That's all we ask for is to take some warm clothes. It's pretty amazing that even though it's a mile out, mile back, we've rescued people in tennis shoes and shorts. just be safe and, read what the ice is doing. Obviously don't go towards the open waters. Go enjoy it. But just be safe and try not to spend a lot of time underneath the ice, up at the ice caves, and make it back safely. So call early if someone falls in.
Good, very good advice. Thanks so much for talking to us today, Captain.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
Up next, the beauty of birds through the eyes of a carver.